All right, Philippians chapter 1, look in verse number 27. Verse number 27. These passages have always been something special to me since I've come into the kingdom and God began to teach me and grow me and help me. These just have been an encouragement to me, and I wanted to share a couple of things out of them that I think will be a benefit to you and just a reminder of things that we've gone over 1,000 times. But keep in mind, Paul told them in Philippians, I think it was in chapter number 3. Yes, look in chapter number 3 before we start there in verse number 1. 3:1, Paul reminds the church at Philippi when he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in who?
Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is what? It's easy, it's safe. The idea is that repetitively going over the same things has a way of being a refuge or safe, something that's going to be good for you in the long run, as he was writing to them, because he obviously shared these things when he was with them. There's potentially that he wrote other letters to them that we just don't have as a copy of Revelation in our Bibles, but he did write to them and wrote some of the same things, because it's kind of like getting away from the fundamentals. You get away from the fundamentals of just about anything that you're doing, you're going to get off track in what you're doing. And some of the beautiful fundamentals that we see in the Scriptures, we see right here in chapter 1 in verse number 27, where he says, "Let your conduct," or your conversation, your lifestyle, the way you live, the way you walk, let it be worthy. Let it be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you and see you or I am absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you as a church, when you're walking worthy of the gospel, you're standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which their opposition to you is proof of their perdition, their judgment, that they're under wrath, but it's proof to you of your salvation, and that not only your salvation, but the proof is a gift from God. Verse 29, he's going to explain. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." Father, we thank you today. We just want to humble ourselves before you and ask you to help us with these just fundamental truths of us living and walking in a way that is suitable, that is worthy of the message and the ministry of Christ. That our lives won't be shaken by those that oppose you and oppose us, as John taught us, that if the world didn't know Jesus, therefore persecuting him, the world's not going to know us either. They're not going to understand us. They're not going to understand why we do what we do and who we do it for. And we have to recognize that. And also, we need to know today that you're always at work, that you are using all these things not only to grow us in grace, but you're using it to affirm our lives that we do belong to you and that you are at work in us, and therefore we can count it all joy when we fall into various trials and troubles. So we just love you. Thank you so much for your kindness toward us, and we just pray you help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. Living worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now to do that, we've got to recognize that God is always at work. He's always at work. He's always on the job, Brother Shannon.
Amen.
He's always, never not on the job working things out for our good and His glory. What does Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 teach us? For all things work together for the good of those that what? Love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Now, we also know what that good is. Romans 8:29 tells us that Jesus done such a work of grace in us that the Father has predestined that we become more like Him, that we be conformed to His image. So the good that He's referring to, that God works together, the bad and the good, because not all things are good. Anytime we're opposed and we have adversaries and people try to harm or hurt or go against or even your flesh at work against the things of God, that's not a good thing, but we have a promise from God that He can use even the bad things and turn them into a good thing, that He uses that. And in this passage, He teaches us that very same thing, verse 28, that when we walk worthy of the gospel, we've got to recognize that would mean that we are going to persevere with one passion. To stand fast in spirit means that we persevere with a passion. The word spirit means passion, with one breath, with one passion. And to have one passion, you got to have one priority. You got to have a priority in life. And one of our priorities that we see that is essential, and that is walking worthy of Jesus, knowing that He is at work in us. And we want to persevere in that. We want to stand, and we want to face the opposition that comes against us. We want to deal with the things of the flesh that oppose the things of God. We stand persevering with one breath, one passion together. He says also, with one mind, with one purpose, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel means to persuade, the persuasion of the gospel. That it ought to be our aim with the passions that we have, the priorities that we're walking in, and the purpose with one mind together is that is to persuade men that there's only one way, one answer God has, and His name is Jesus. See, anything other than that, in essence, is not necessarily, that's not walking worthy of the gospel. But if you're going to strive together, that means that you got to be striving together with who? With the brethren. Who are striving together with who? With Jesus. Yes, with the purpose that He came to give and for us to walk in. Just think about that for a moment. Now, if I'm going to walk worthy of the gospel, that would mean that people are going to have to be involved in my life. There's going to have to be a place that God assigns to me, like what I'm referring to, us here. We are the ones who are the strive together with the right priorities, with the right purpose, with the right passions in life that fit, Keith, or is worthy of the gospel. That's going to include people. I cannot walk worthy of the gospel by myself. Amen. It's not going to happen. I need you. You need me. We need one another. God's always got an assignment for people. He's always got an assignment for a place that is a place to serve and to serve Him from. And see, we gather together to come celebrate what He's doing in us, to help equip us so that we can go forth and demonstrate before a world we live in of what He's done in us and what He's doing through us. But we strive together. You got to have people involved in this salvation work of Jesus. It's going to be a place involved that people gather to help equip one another. And there's going to be a purpose in what we do, but there's always going to be a proof positive. God's going to do something. And that's where verse 28 comes in when he says that we don't need to be terrified in any way by our adversaries. Why? The reason they are persecuting you is proof that they are not part of us. And it's proof from God that He's done a work in you to distinguish you from them. And that's a gift. Amen. That's why reiterates that in verse 29, that not only was it graciously given to you in salvation to believe in Jesus, but it was given to you to also suffer for his name's sake. Both are a gift. Both are gifts of grace. Now, knowing that, you know what that does? When I know God's using things in my life and when I'm being persecuted for the cause of Christ because I'm living worthy of the gospel and I'm clinging to Jesus, I'm loving on the brethren. I believe we need to gather together to help equip one another. Because we're finding it more and more in our age that more and more people believe that it is absolutely a non-essential for the people of God to gather together with other people. They believe they can do this all on their own. And that they don't have any, in their ideas, no biblical, scriptural, Christ-centered mandate that they need to be part of a congregation or an assembly of people God's way. That's simply saying that they have come to the conclusion that their way is better than God's way. And that's happening more and more every day.
Amen.
In the age that we live in. My responsibilities and accountability in the kingdom of God as being an equipping pastor, teacher, shepherd is every day is becoming more and more archaic to our society. Meaning they just don't, it's a non-essential. They don't believe it's a need. That you don't need to be part of a group of people. You don't need to have a shepherd in your life. You don't need to have a pastor part of your journey and people that you are committed to and that are committed to you. And you don't need all that. We get that in our own family. We get that on our job. We're around people more than we want to be to begin with, and we don't need to gather with anybody, and we surely don't need anybody telling us what we ought to be doing and what we ought not to be doing. And they just throw it away, yeah. Cast it out. And that's becoming more and more prevalent in our society. Yeah. But the Scriptures teach us otherwise, that this is how God works, and we don't have to be shaken or terrified. That's why it's so important for us to be spiritually sound and mature, having built a growing and expanding love that's being grown and expanded. We talked about it Wednesday night, about that expanding love out of the first part of Philippians 1, where Paul said, I pray that your love will grow in knowledge and discernment, that you may prove what is that excellent thing of God, that you would be sincere and without offense, overflowing with the fruits of righteousness until the day of Christ. That means that our love needs to be expanding. It needs to be growing, because a knowing love is a growing love. A knowing and growing love is a confident love. And when a man or a woman or a boy is not confident in what they know, and their love is not growing, they're going to live shaken in their spirit and terrified when things oppose them. I saw one of those Luna moths this morning. I don't know what happened to it. Matter of fact, I videoed it. I've got it on video. It was on the ground when I come up to it. I don't know if it got caught up in a spider web or something got a hold of it, or it come through some strong winds or whatever it is, but I've seen them before bear the winds. They'll lock on to something, and the winds will have them shaking and howling, and they moving, but they anchor it on to something stronger than they are, and they do fairly well. But this one was all ate up. Its wings were like, looked like chunks of it that were out of it, and every wing, you know, they got four wings on them, and all of them were split and torn and tattered, and I saw it down on the ground, and I knew if it stayed on the ground, it was more at risk on the ground than it would be on side of a wall. Why? What's on the ground just searching and looking for a little bit of food out there? Ants are everywhere. They're all over, and that thing laying on the ground can't fly, get away. Them ants are going to eat it up, and they're going to have them a meal today. So I picked it up and I put it on side the wall, and I videoed it when I set it on side an easel. I put it on the easel, and when I set it on there, you could watch that Luna moth's body tremor. It just was steady shaking. Wings shaking. It was fluttering. No wind. Nothing was blowing it. It was just shaking. And I put my hand over it and fooled with it for a minute, took it off, videoed it, and then it kind of flew and got up underneath the bottom of that. And when it got up underneath that, it felt more secure and it quit tremoring. But I got to thinking, you know, that's how it is in life when you know you're tattered and you're weak and you're feeble. What happens with your body? You're in a terrified or panic type mode, and you have anxiety. You're anxious. Well, you know, that same thing applies when my love is not growing and expanding in knowledge and discernment. My spirit is anxious, and it trembles and terrified at what's coming in life, what's coming next, and I live with anxiety and fear. Not from that I'm not physically able, but we're talking about the spirit of a person, their knowledge. They're shaken by the events of life and things that are coming. But you've got somebody that has an expanding type, growing type love that is confident in what God is doing and how God uses things in their life. Things don't terrify them. It doesn't shake them. It doesn't stir them up, even when they have to face some hardships in their life, because they know that God is working. God is using this. And we can do as James said, count it all what? Why do we count it all joy? Why can we count it all joy? Matter of fact, turn to James real quick. Just look at James. Why can we count it all joy? James 1, look in verse number 2. James 1, 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when? When you what? When you fall. A fall is never all that pleasant. When you fall, you normally what? You run the risk to what? Hurting yourself. H.J. falls, what does she normally get? A bobo. A bobo. A brush burn. She's going to bang up her knees. She's going to bang her elbows up. There's always a consequence when you fall. When older people fall, their bones are a little more fragile. They run the risk of what? Breaking a hip. Though when you fall, there's always a risk. And he says, when we fall into various trials, we can count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But notice what verse 4 says. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why are we able to count it joy when we fall into trouble? Not because of the trouble we fall in. Well, that's not a joyful thing when you fall and break a shoulder or when you're being persecuted by someone. He's not talking about count that joy. Why are we able to count it joy? Because we know God is at work. God is at work. When he says, let patience have its perfect work, that is simply saying God's using the trouble that you've fallen in to produce something in you, a perseverance, a patience that wouldn't be produced in you apart from you going through something. Remember, when the adversaries come against us, he says, don't be terrified by that. God's letting that happen to prove, number one, who they are, but also to prove who you are and who you belong to. So you don't have to be shaken by it. You don't have to tremble. See, but if I don't know that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just like that Luna moth. My spirit inside of me begins to be anxious. And I begin to tremble under the persecution, under the thing that I'm going through, because I don't have the confidence that God is with me in this, that God is actually at work in this, and he's producing something in me to bring glory to his own name and bring great good to me through the trial that I'm going through. You see, I can't walk worthy of the gospel if I'm trembling at every kind of adversity that comes my way. I am not representing Jesus well if I cave in to the despair and to the trouble that keeps coming my way and act like a natural man and not realize that God is at work and he's using this to make me look more like Jesus. Yeah. That's why a lot of times we don't shine as lights. Amen. You see, if I don't think God's behind it, and I think the enemy's behind it, when trouble comes my way, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to complain, and I'm going to murmur, and I won't shine as lights in the midst of a dark world. But hey, I'm going to shine, amen? How do I shine? I shine knowing who is at work in me and why I'm going through this. Turn to Romans 5. Let me show you. Watch this idea with patience. Romans 5. Let patience have its perfect work. What in the world does he mean by that? Well, Romans 5 tells us what he means by that. Look in verse number 3. Romans 5:3 says, and not only that, but we also glory, rejoice, celebrate in what? Romans 5:3, we celebrate in what? Sufferings or tribulations. That's where James says what? Count it all. So if we glory in tribulations, we're doing what James said. We're counting it all joy. Why? Because knowing, we know this, we're confident that tribulation produces what? Perseverance or what? James used the word endurance, patience. That this patience that God is at work producing in me, this ability to endure, to embrace, and to enjoy what I'm going through, not the necessary thing that is opposing me. That's not what I'm rejoicing over. I'm rejoicing that God is at work in this and that God is using this, and God's going to produce something in me. And what is he going to produce in me? A character. And a character is going to produce hope. Verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. The word character. I've shared this with you before. What does that word mean? Character. Y'all might have a note by it. Anybody have a note written by it? That's a term we hear our day. What is character? Who you are when no one's looking. Which is saying, the term used for character there means without wax. In those days, Brandy, what they would do, you'd go to the market, everybody used clay pots. And sometimes those clay pots would crack. How would they hide the crack and sell you a clay pot that you thought was whole without a crack, what would they do? They would put wax in the crack and they would fill it in. You wouldn't notice it, but what happens when you put wax in a furnace to cook in it? What does wax do in a hot environment? And when it melts, guess what happens? Whatever you in it is going to what? Going to come out. So basically he is saying this, that you, when God puts you through trouble to build patience in us, which is going to come through the work of God's wisdom, teaching us how to endure and embrace and enjoy the things that we're going through because of what he's doing in us, making us more like him, that we become more authentic. We're not covering the cracks up with wax that won't be able to endure the flames. You see, it's dealing with an authenticity of faith, that your faith is genuine and it's real. And the only way that happens is for God to put us through a few things. Amen. You got to go through a few things. It's just how he works. That's why he's saying, count it all joy or rejoice or glory in the trouble. Why? God's at work here. You don't have to be terrified by your adversaries. God's at work. God's allowing them to persecute you so you'll know who they are, but even more than that, you'll know who you are and who you belong to and what he's doing in your life. And you can walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God has not only graciously granted you the ability to believe in Him, but God has graciously granted you an opportunity to suffer for His name's sake and to bring glory to Him through the suffering. Man, that what that does is that when I go through things in life, I can recognize that God's building a character and authenticity in me to be sincere and genuine, not to cover things up, not to hide things, but to reveal Him in my life through faith. And when He is being revealed, people see Jesus more than they see me. Because if they see me, you know what's in me? You know what's in my flesh? No good thing. There's no good thing in my flesh. There's nothing good in me or about me apart from the work of grace. Amen?
Amen.
I think that's what's good, and that's what people need to see. And if all they see me, I'm covering up me. I'm going to do my best to cover me up with what? With wax. I don't want them to see the flaws. Are you with me? The flesh doesn't want to expose its flaws. But what Jesus does is that He takes a clay pot that's flawed and He turns it into something to reveal His light through. And that's what people, what we need to see. They need to see, you need to see Jesus in me. I need to see Him in you. But if I don't have that revelation and my spirit is weak and wounded and feeble, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to tremble and be anxious, and I'm going to worry, and I'm going to manifest in my spirit. It's going to manifest to me that my love is not expanding and growing. Yes. Who teaches us how to do all things through Him? He does. How does He learn us? How does He teach us? We've got to go through a few things. Yes. Isn't that what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who what? How did He strengthen him? He taught him. How did He teach him? He had to go through hardships. He said, I know how to be content when I'm with nothing, and I've learned how to be content when I have everything. Amen. He's simply saying, but I couldn't know how to do that unless God what? Put me through those things. He had to teach me those things. And He taught me, and I know. And therefore, it was His teaching me through the circumstances of life that I know He will. I can endure all things through Him who strengthens me. You can know all there is to know from a technical standpoint, all there is to know about swimming, Keith. You can read books about swimming. You can watch Jay Hayden swim. You can watch videos of swimming. But you can't swim unless you get in the water. And that's how it works with understanding that God is the one who strengthens us through all things. The only way that happens, you got to get in the water with Him. Mm-hmm. He's got to put you through some things.
Yeah.
He's got to bring you through. He's got to shepherd you through them. You could read about it. You could listen to testimonies about it. You could have all the technical steps. But if you're not in the water, you can't swim.
Amen.
The same thing applies to you and me. And I want to tell you, He better than anybody knows how to lead us, feed us, and meet the needs in our life. And He does that by bringing us through some things. So I don't have to worry about it. Amen?
Amen.
I can count it all joy. I can glory in it because I know He's at work. And He's making me more like Jesus. He's letting me swim with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank You today. We bless You. Ask You to help us with these things. Oftentimes, we want to get away from stuff. We want to get out of the very thing that You're using to teach us how faithful and gracious and good You are. And I pray that we find ourselves with a growing and expanding and confident love, so that Your love compels us, Your faith propels us, and that Your hope just continues to give us the confidence to keep taking the next step, rejoicing in the fact of not of the trouble that we have to face, but why are we facing it and who's at work in our life. So we give you the praise in Jesus' name.